The second class for this morning will be brought to us by Brother Peter Davis, and the title is Actions Speak Louder Than Words. Brother Peter.
Morning. Or Peter. Love, Brett. Thanks, Brett. So there's a book. It's called The Five Love Languages. And it's written by a fairly well-known marriage counselor, Gary Chapman. He's the author. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I find it kind of interesting how well the book kind of relates to the topic for this class. So it mentions five love languages, which are receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, and acts of service. And when you look up what an act of service is, like if you plug it into like dictionary.com, it'll come out as the action of helpful activity, help, or aid. And there's not a doubt in my mind that everyone in this room has heard the saying, actions speak louder than words. And I, for one, find this to be true. It's a really simple saying, but to break it down, it means the things we do outweigh the things that we say. Sometimes we need to physically do something because the message would not have gotten across had it just been said. So this saying, this actions speak louder than words, it's extremely prevalent in the ministry of Christ. Many of his teachings had to be shown as well as said, because otherwise no one would have understood it, just wouldn't have gotten across to them. So the most obvious example I can think of is found in John 13, verse 1 through 17. And this is the story of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. So back in New Testament times, people would only wear sandals as shoes. The first thing that they would have to do after they entered a building was wash their feet. And this washing, it like cleaned the feet. It was cleansing of dirt and germs. And in rich homes especially, it was done by the servants. And it was considered to be a very lowly and degrading job. So John 13, 1 through 17. I'll read it now. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So what's really important about these verses, Christ had to physically wash the feet of his disciples just so that they might understand what he was teaching. because telling them is just not enough. They had to be shown what he was talking about. And obviously you can interpret all of Christ's lessons in many different ways, but one thing you can take out of this is the importance of doing things for others, no matter who they are. And this lesson is echoed in Matthew chapter 25. Does someone want to read verses 34 through 46? Evan. Thanks. So here, it's really stressed that the importance of physically serving others is just so crucial to our salvation. Christ takes the things that we do in our lives very personally. We always need to be on our best and Christ-like behavior. Jesus is literally telling us that service to one another, no matter who it is we're serving, is a key component to our acceptance at the judgment seat. And if we don't serve others, it says we will go away to eternal punishment. So far we've looked at the importance of physically serving people in need. And one person who knows this very well is my mom. My mom is a nice lady. She always feels like she has to do everything for everyone, and I think this is just the best trait that anyone could have. For example, there's this woman in our town, Margarita, and she has a slight variation of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and her body is deteriorating. And my mom would go and she would visit her and just spend time with her. And again, earlier this year, with the Bembelezas and with the Koys, she would go and she would visit them. Whatever they would need, she would bring it. And she was always going out of her way to help the lost sheep. So let's look at Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 1 through 7. And I'll just read it. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I've been a lost sheep this year, and it sucked. It was just really, really terrible. This year was just really, really tough for me. It was a lot of disappointment. There was a lot of change, and like my friends, they all moved to college, and that's really hard to see. And there's been a lot of death this year, and it's really just hit me hard, and there's just been a lot of low points in my life. But I got through it. You know, people helped me to get back on track. They guided me back to the flock, back to this straight and narrow path. I mean, Evan said it in the first class, the importance of friendship. Our friends and the truth are here for the rest of our lives. They will always lead us back and walk with us on our journey to the kingdom. So Let's turn to James chapter 1. So James 1 and verse 27. Does someone want to read that? Mick? Thank you. So the first time I read this verse, it says, religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows. So the first time I read that, I was like, oh, okay, look after, like, the less fortunate, like their physical needs and whatnot. But when you think about it in more of a spiritual context, it's a lot more powerful. Look after orphans. Orphans have no parents and no fathers. So when we are orphaned from God, it's as if we are cut off from God, from our Father. The King James says to look after the fatherless. And then widows. We can be widowed from Christ as members of the church. We are Christ's bride. And so we can be widowed. We can be cut off from Christ. And we need help when we are widows, when we're orphans, when we're lost sheep. And the Apostle Paul was great when it came to helping with these lost sheep, these widows and these orphans. Many of his letters were written with the intent of correction or of warning, but most of all of helping. For instance, his letter to the Corinthians, Paul warns the Corinthian church about divisions in the church, trying to help them. In his letter to the Galatians, he's warning them from different gospels and from sinful nature. In his letters to Timothy, he's warning him against false teachers. Paul was focused on helping these lost sheep, these widows, these orphans, helping them to find their way back. And we too need to be focused on helping struggling brothers, sisters, friends, family, whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, any way we can. We need to help. So what we're going to do now, we're going to break out into groups. I'm going to count off. We're going to have six groups. And I have six case studies that each group will take a look at, all with one big question is, how can we help them? So we're going to count off to six. So one, two,